The answer is the soil. It's a it's a dirtless or soilless mixture, and if you put too much water into the pot, it just dumps out the bottom. There's so much air space in the soil that just that makes sense.
Yes,
it just dumps out the bottom. So we don't overwater plants. So it's our soil holds water so well. Too well sometimes, and when you overwater them, you sort of drown them. So starting something in a pot can be easier for that reason. It's like a raised bed. That's why raised beds are popular here. They do better because there's better drainage.
The gardens and stuff. But we're talking that. You said that. I know this. I don't know as much for the planting, but I do for shows for foundations. But if you start from Arden Road at the Bluffs, and you go all the way to the lake, to pass through Bentwood to the lake, you're going to have clay.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be a genius. You can just dig a little hole and you rub it in your fingers. And you can say, you know, this is clay. You don't have to have a scientific degree or anything to know that.
Hard as a rock when it's dry and like glue when it's wet.
Well, and people ask me, they say, Scott, what about this? Well, let me help you with this. We don't have, and Tommy, you said we need rain. We don't have any rain for 4 or 5 months. But, you know, a couple, 3 years ago, we didn't.
Right.
Okay, what happens? It all dries and it goes like this. You know, if y'all know, I'm expanding my hands. Okay, then we have 8 inches of rain, thank you, God, in 2 days. It shrinks back up. That's what it's doing.
Right, it moves. So. It's incredible how much it moves. And houses, it affects houses, and that's...
Well, even the Dallas area down, a lot of the newer subdivisions, because they have a lot of clay in Dallas.
Yeah.
But I understand in the permit office there, they're requiring a sprinkler system, not for their yard, for the plants, but for their foundation. So they have to water around their foundation.
Yes, right.
So...
Keeping it even, not where it's really dry and then really wet like you're talking about, is very good for the foundation. It's hard when you let it dry out. Actually, Scott, when it gets wet, it expands.
I said it backwards today. You're right. Thank you. You're right. I said it backwards. You're 100% right.
And when it expands, it's powerful.
It'll lift houses.
It can lift a house, yeah.
In fact, one of our foundation guys said, Scott, you're saying it. So it did. It actually exceeded 100%. Tommy's 100% right, folks. I'm sorry. It expanded and it actually lifted a house up.
Right, right.
And then when it went back down, it's, you know, and houses aren't made to lift up and go back down.
It's sad, sad.
But anyway, you know, by saying that, there's ways to build a house on it.
Whether it's brown or red or black, it's still clay.
Yes.
You know, some people say, well, mine's brown. I don't have that red clay. It's still clay. It isn't all clay, but it's primarily clay. But clay can hold nutrients and hold moisture. It has great advantages. It really... probably better than real sandy soil. Better than the sandy loam that we hear about is
like, you know, in Brown County
with the right balance of those. It's silt, sand, and clay. There's a mixture, and if that's the best, and that's why that guy from Ohio State says you don't have topsoil, you have this clay junk.
So, but you're saying the clay could be good for growing.
It is good. I mean, look, drive around town. Look. You said you drive from Arden Road to Bentwood. And look at the landscapes. Look at what's growing
yards.
In our soil. It's all clay. It's primarily clay. I remember when the first Walmart was first put in, and they cleared there on Southwest.
Uh-huh.
And they cleared from Red Arroyo all the way up to Millbrook.
There's a reason it's called Red Arroyo too.
They cleared that land, and I would drive. I used to live out towards the Merchant Highway, and I'd drive out there. I think, golly, I wouldn't want to build a house and own a house on that red brick. You know, what would grow on that? And then you drive through, what are those streets? Butterfield, Butterfly, and those, Old Post. You have these beautiful trees, and it's amazing how plants can adapt and grow in anything.
Except I learned one thing the hard way. I built a house out at the lake.
Yeah,
and I had Recyro come out with that big old excavator.
Yeah,
and all that stuff because I wanted to dig deeper where I could have a boat ramp.
Oh,
and they dug all that out, and I thought, oh, it was this huge pile of this dark, dark looking dirt, and so I had them spread it all over my backyard. They call that dead soil, don't they?
Yes, right.
I know now.
How thick?
It was thick enough. I had to bring in topsoil. That's how bad it was. Nothing grows in that, does it?
I hate to tell him, but it takes about 6 weeks for it to bring for the life to come back into it.
Now so he tells me.
Yeah.
Now he. See, I should have been talking to this. See why?
Always call me, Scott.
See why you need to talk to Tommy more often. But really, I saw you were saying I could have saved a lot of money and just waited, because I mean, not even weeds were growing in it.
Exactly. It's dead soil.
It was literally, it was beautiful and it was looking though.
A lot of silt.
Yes, it had a lot of silt.
So it's not the best, but it can change.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Okay, folks, I just proved that if you listen to the Real Estate News Show or you go talk to Tommy Olive, and he's very easy to get a hold of, you swing by Olive's Nursery, he'll talk to you and tell you what's going on, you could have just saved me several thousands of dollars. Literally several thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, a day late, that's my usual story, a day late and a dollar short. But anyway, so you can, so dead dirt, dead soil does come back to life.
It does. It does. Doing nothing, you can expedite it, but with my magic, you know, snake oil that I call olive oil.
Which I highly recommend, by the way.
Yeah. So, yes.
Well, your snake oil, as you call it, olive oil, it has some seaweed type stuff in it.
Right.
Because it kind of stops every once in a while, you have to get it unstopped.
Yeah. Primarily, half of it is seaweed. Yeah. Right. A quality seaweed extract. Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about that just real quick. We talk about it almost every show, but it's that good a product. Hey, when did y'all come up with this product?
We were in about 30 years ago. We were in kind of an economic downturn, and I met up with this organic guy, and he said, I can get you into agricultural sales. And you can sell big tickets to farmers and stuff. So I bought his product, and my brother-in-law out in Austin, dryland farms, and we went to the dryland farmers to try to sell them something, and they don't buy anything.
No.
So I had to invest in this company, and I had all this stuff I couldn't sell to the farmers. But he had a product that was for lawns, and it was doing great. So it was the olive oil, essentially. But so I had all this merchandise, all this inventory that I wasn't selling for farmers, and I did some math and I figured out a ratio and I started packaging it into smaller quantities to put on lawns, and it did just as well as what I was buying from them. So that's how I got into my own special blend that we call olive oil. That's been going on for almost 30 years.